recruiting trails to the offices of the LHSAA. We'll have you covered. Now, here's Kate Wazan, Todd Black, and Jimmy Roy.
Welcome to Schlitz and Giggles here underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Kate Wazan, Todd Black, Jimmy Roy, Steve Davis in the house tonight. And, of course, the Parkview Baptist Eagles Division II State Championship. Parkview Baptist Eagles. Back to the Dome for the second straight season. Come away with the hardware this year. And we will be speaking with head coach Jay Maia here in just a couple of minutes, as well as a couple of players who helped bring this championship back to Baton Rouge. Todd, what a weekend for not just the Parkview Baptist Eagles, but for Baton Rouge football. And it's something we talked about in the beginning of the season and something we reemphasized for the beginning of the postseason, is the success in the Baton Rouge area. Success not just from the 5A level that we had saw maybe drop off in recent years, but across the board. And out of the four championships played last Friday night, Baton Rouge took home three of them.
Jamai, I think we all felt like that they could win one or two. Mm-hmm. To come out with all three was simply amazing. But before we get to that, because Santa Claus in Ascension Parish is waiting on us. So, you know, at 6 o'clock, there's some fire stations out in Ascension Parish that put Santa Claus on, and they go ride through neighborhoods. So Captain Eric at Station 32, there's also Station 30, Santa Maul Fire Station, and Galvez Lake Fire Station. They've got Santa Claus as helpers sitting on top of that fire truck. Might be coming to your neighborhood. That's why I'm going to have to get out of here right at 7 to get home so I can see Santa Claus. But and obviously, thank you guys for everything you do. That means a lot.
Oh, absolutely. It's always fun to
have. Oh, yeah, to see the kid's face. You know, so Brock asked me the other day, he said, is that one of Santa Claus? Is that really Santa Claus? Is that Santa Claus? Is somebody dressed up like Santa Claus? And I said, well, I think it's one of his helpers. And he said, no. He said, his helpers are elves. So I said, well, Santa Claus has a lot of helpers. Be quiet.
Go, Santa Claus, you got a son that goes to LSU, don't you?
That's right. But let's get back to football real quick. But absolutely, you know, you talk about Catholic High. I think right. They were the biggest underdog by the largest of margins. And, you know, they absolutely come in and play a terrific game against Rubble and pull the upset with a last-second field goal. You have Southern Lab that really much control the game throughout the whole four quarters. And then, of course, you know, you have another exciting game with Parkview coming back scoring with the last minute 44 when Reggie Hayes found Jacob Ruffin for 47 yards. And then you have Caleb Moe making a big defensive interception with a minute 8 to secure that win for the Parkview Baptist Eagles. And congratulations to Coach Jay Maia and the Parkview Eagles for bringing home the Select Division II State Championship.
Yeah, we'll be speaking with them, as we mentioned here, in about 15 minutes or less from right now. Catholic High getting the win by 3 points, and Southern Lab more convincingly 36-2 in the earlier matchup against St. Mary's. So congratulations to first-year head coach Marcus Randall. Other champions, Notre Dame, Pios, Coach Louis Cook, a 13-3 game. That's pretty much a standard Notre Dame of Crowley football game where you've got a strong defensive performance from the get-go. I was a little surprised from the onset that Riverside's defense kind of held up. And that last 90 seconds, the 2 minutes of that first half, boy, in just a matter of seconds, Notre Dame got on the board and got their 10-point lead, and that's all they needed.
Boy, I tell you, how true is that? And you have to keep your composure for the full 48 minutes. And as you know, Riverside found out, losing your composure for a minute and a half can cost you a state championship. But the impressive thing about Notre Dame is their defense. All the way through, I think they gave up roughly 46 points and 20, maybe 49 points, and 23 of those came up to Breaux Bridge. Riverside, who's scoring a huge amount of points, they held Riverside to 3. So, you know, the question went, do good defenses beat good offenses? In that particular case, they did. But what's going to be interesting is we're going to be able to see a similar matchup this week. John Arrett has been playing absolutely phenomenal defense, and they're going to be playing the Zachary Broncos, who have been playing tremendous on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, Zachary, a team that is probably averaged close to a 20-point margin of victory throughout the postseason. They have improved week to week. And the closest game that John Arrett played, I think, is the Mandeville game. They won 7-6. And that's really the closest game they've played in quite a while. We saw them up close and personal. Jimmy and I went to the Live Oak game. These guys are big. They're strong, but they're big as far as height. They're not, you know, a heavier set, and they're fast, especially on the defensive front. They put a lot of pressure on you. They certainly made it very difficult for Will Higginbotham in that running game for Coach Beard at Live Oak. And be interesting to see what they do with Zachary, as we know that their quarterback, Lindsey Scott, is so mobile, always looking downfield, always looking for the next play. By the way, we'll have that for you Saturday night. It's scheduled for a 7 o'clock kickoff, but you know how things go with the other games going on that day, 3, 4, and 5A. So it's the nightcap on Saturday. We'll have it for you right here at 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge. And congratulations is in order, though, also for Coach Rob Odom and West Feliciana. They took Lutcher to overtime, which probably surprised a lot of people. Close to, I think, with the final score involved, 6 lead changes in this football game. Regulation ended at 38. Really was keeping our eyes peeled to this contest as we were watching what was unfolding in the nightcap inside the Superdome, hoping to see the Saints maybe pull it out. What a close game. What a game. What a year for a team that lost a lot leadership-wise for Coach Odom last year. But, boy, these guys fought real hard this postseason.
You know, ultimately when we talk about high school coaches, we talk about them turning boys into young men.
Yeah.
Coach Rob Odom does a great job of this, and a lot of people aren't going to know a lot of the things that happened to that program during the season as far as suspensions are concerned and him sitting out people for disciplinary reasons, but Coach Odom does that. And in turn, you know, he had his team playing as good a football as they could possibly be playing in week 14. And obviously, I've said before, it takes, you know, you got to have the ball bounce your way. You got to have some form of luck somewhere down the line to get into that state championship game. His team, his staff gave everything they had. They just fell short when they got in the playoffs. They were there at the 1 yard line. Lutcher made a stop. They had to go to Lutcher, if I'm not mistaken. And,
right.
And to play in that atmosphere and environment is always very tough. But you know, hats off to West Feliciana as they continue each year to play very strong. They play very competitive. And they play with class, and that's always important this day and time.
Lots of storylines in the championship of Class 3A. When you look at number one seeded Lutcher advancing after their win over West Feliciana, and St. James, the 15 seed, advancing to the Superdome. Certainly they've earned it, but it was a forfeit on the side of AME based on the ruling we had last week. We talked.
And AME earned that forfeit too.
Yeah.
You know, by the way.
We talked to LHSA Executive Director Eddie Bonine on Friday, and certainly he had a lot of passion for what he was discussing. And, I took in that conversation, it's not as if he is seeking to punish. He is seeking to enforce the rules that are in place and looking to say, hey, if there's change in the future that needs to be made, let's bring it up, let's discuss, let's see what we can improve upon. But make no mistake about this, St. James, you know, storylines abound with the two River Parish schools, deserve to be where they are.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think, you know, we talked to Coach Cetillier earlier on in the year, and they really like what they have. And of course, Dwayne Jenkins is a good friend of the show, too, and he's really done a tremendous job, and I always talk about keeping the focus. St. James kept the focus through the tough times because, obviously, their quarterback was out for the longest time. They get him back in week one or week two, and they've really put things in motion. Lutcher's going to be a tough challenge for him. It ought to be a great game. It's an old rivalry within that parish, so it ought to be very good to watch between St. James and Lutcher, and that game will be, I think, at 12 o'clock on Saturday.
You are correct. Coach, how about them Neville Tigers taking a car? The semifinal matchup seemed like a list of teams that have met before, at least in the Superdome.
Well, it's funny you say that because I had kind of listed here a lot of teams that have been into the Superdome: Kentwood, Hainesville, Mangum. You know, interesting about Mangum, last 2 years they were in 1A and they lost to Ouachita Christian, which was in 1A. This year they stepped up into 2A and they're in the finals again. This year they're playing Kinder. So Mangum has done a tremendous job the last 3 years. Then you've got a Lutcher, St. James, a Neville, and a Carr, and Zachary and John Arrett. Of course, John Arrett's last trip to the Superdome was 1985. I remember that well. That was the year I graduated, so that is a long time ago. They had a quarterback named Leonard Valentine at quarterback there. And Neville and Carr, 2011, Neville beat Carr in the Superdome 27-6. Then they lose to Carr in 2012, 29-22. Neville beats Carr last year in the quarterfinals, 34-7, and they have a rematch coming up this year.
That matchup in the Superdome, was that when Coach Jaluk was there, right?
Yes, who is now at Louisiana Tech.
Right, yeah, that was real good football on the part of the Edna Carr Cougars that football season. I remember that very well. All right. Well, let's take a
Before we do that, yeah. Real quick, and we did touch on it, but Catholic High and Dale Weiner.
What a year for the Bears.
It really was. You know, if you remember, and here's the thing, you know.
Think back to the first 2 weeks of the season and where we're looking at right now. I mean,
you really had Hammer didn't think Coach Weiner would get, you know, his best win or his 300th win this
right.
year. But my thing is, you know, he talked about his team. He wanted his team to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, when you look at it, and you know that you come from 21 behind at Evangel without Eclair, and you win in overtime 27-21, it's a team of destiny. And when they were hanging around against Rummel, and Rummel could never put them away, you kind of saw it coming, but wow. I mean, a man that's been in the game, he's been questioned just recently about whether he should retire or not.
Right.
And much deserved state championship for Coach Dale Weiner and his staff and his team.
His 307th win is a state championship. That's not bad.
No.
Whether you could take it, whether it's your first or your 307th. And look, we can look at it a lot of ways because a lot of people will look back and say the win on the road against Brother Martin, the following win on the road against Evangel, either of those two games you can look at and think, okay, where's the letdown? You had an emotional game, a high-scoring game, a trip on the road. The 21-point comeback, where's the letdown? They come back, they gather themselves. Then the end of the first half, maybe some people thinking, why not kick the field goal? You know, he's being a little aggressive there. You're thinking, is that going to come back to hurt the Bears? But they composed themselves. They came back in a tough situation, in a very tough environment, under the lights, and come away with a win. It's impressive, I think.
And then you add the fact that really – they were the newbies to the Dome.
Yeah,
Rommel
yeah.
had been there. They were very comfortable with where they were.
Right.
And the way they handled the situation from the start to the finish was absolutely perfect. I thought the offensive coordinator, we all felt like that he had a great game plan as well as the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Hey, and that's what it takes to win state championships. It took Catholic, I think, 121 years, but none sweeter than the one this year, right?
Came down to special teams at the end, so I guess we give some credit to Coach Hill.
I think you can. You can give some credit to him, but he's going to give it to all his players. You know right. the way he is. So it was a big win, absolutely, for Catholic High.
All right, well, we'll talk about the Eagles when we return. The Division II state champions, their head coach, A. Maia, will join us here live at Schlitz & Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Kate Waza and Todd Black from Louisiana Prep Weekly, presented by GMFS on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Bat.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to Louisiana Prep Weekly here live from Schlitz & Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Of course, we are glad to welcome in the Division II State Championship Parkview Baptist Eagles tonight. And right now, how about you continue that round of applause for your head coach, Jay Maia, everybody. Coach, first and foremost, congratulations to you, your staff, your young men here tonight, and the young men on this football team. From a personal standpoint, you taking over as the head coach. Does this championship, you've been a part of a lot of teams, a lot of success at Parkview Baptist. Does this mean any different for you as the head coach and all the work you have to do as the head coach now?
No, it really doesn't. You know, there's a lot more work that goes into it. I've actually, for years, I've kind of been on Coach Giott's back about how little work he does or did. But going through it now, it's unbelievable, the work, and it's just totally different. And there's certainly a totally new respect for him as a head coach.
I was going to say a different level of appreciation for has to happen. Yeah.
No doubt about it.
How about your mindset? It has to change, obviously, because now you're thinking about offense, defense, those type of situations. How do you approach a game opposed to defensively from a coordinator's perspective to a head coach's perspective?
That's been the biggest change, you know, trying to look at offensively, you know, how I would attack a certain defense, mm-hmm. looking at how they're lined up and things like that. And, you know, I have total trust in our coordinator, Scott Dietrich, been there forever, done a great job. Cade Worsham played for me, coached for me. You know, and I'm one of those guys that, you know, you can ask them. I let them run free, and I don't really tell them what to do. You know, I'll make suggestions here and there, but, you know, sometimes it goes on deaf ears, and I don't have a problem with that because right. I have total trust in them.
Well, you know, I have to say one time, I don't know how long this tradition went, but before a game, Jay used to shave his head. Bald. You couldn't tell now. So when did that start before you were head coach? I mean, did you stop it?
Well, I stopped it when I became head coach. And it was because of my wife. I enjoyed it. I'd much rather have a bald head. But, you know, she's been begging me for 16 years not to shave it. And I guess she had a good excuse when I became head coach. So she used that trump card, and I haven't done it since. So,
well, you better listen to her. You know that. See, I learned that, too. The one thing that we were texting back and forth earlier, and I really felt this way, and Reggie may get the credit because he's at the quarterback, but he also is going to be the one that's going to, you know, when things aren't going so well, it's the quarterback as well. But I really felt, I don't know what happened there during the playoffs, but especially against UHigh and especially in the Superdome, it seemed like he played at a different level.
Well, there's no question. I mean, you know, with his speed, his athleticism, you know, as a coaching staff, it was designed that way to give him the ball as many times as we possibly could. You know, last year when he was quarterback, we didn't use him at all in the return game. This year we did. You know, in crucial games and all throughout the playoffs, he was back there returning kicks. Some games he was returning punts between him and Trent Kavanaugh. So, you know, we just wanted to get the ball in the hands of our best guys as many times as we possibly could. And on offense, you know, Scott did a great job of scheming things up to where we can get the ball in his hands. You know, you know with the option, it's a read game, so they can take the quarterback away if they want to. And, you know, this year we had the players to, you know, you look at the UHigh game, Nelson Smith, the fullback, had a great game, had a lot of yards, and, you know, they wanted to take the fullback away, so that, I mean, a quarterback away, and the fullback killed him. So, you know, we just wanted to scheme some things up where we can get the ball in Reggie's hands a little bit more often in the championship game.
What you talked to me just a little bit about is a lot of times when people think of Parkview, they think of the option, but necessarily let's go back to that UHigh game because it is a vital part of Parkview's offense and has always been, but an ISO. And someone like Nelson Smith that comes into that game who just ISOs a linebacker, and he's got a tough job with who he's ISOing. You know, it's not a small guy that's over there, but he consistently did it and did it well, and that makes it tough on the defense as well.
Well, I tell you what, I mean, you know, traditionally Parkview's known for their offensive line, mm-hmm. and this year was no different. Our offensive line was very, very good. When we're really, really good is when we have three backs. Two in the tie back position, one in the pullback position, that can function as an offensive lineman when they don't have the football. Because those are the guys that are going to be asked to ISO block, to lead block, and those things. And we had three guys between Kyene White, Connor Joffrey, and Nelson Smith that just, you know, punished people when they blocked them.
And I was always a big ISO. I felt like that you had to have a fullback. The fullback back dictates the mentality of your offense. And when you can be physical as well as finesse, it makes it that much tougher on the defense.
Yeah, you know, you look at the stats from this game, and those guys you just mentioned, everybody at least averaged over 4 yards a carry. When you have that ability, knowing that any three or four running backs in this football team can get, you know, almost half a first down every carry, that's going to put a lot of pressure on the defense to figure out what they're going to do.
Oh, there's no question, you know. I mean, you look at the Dome game, and those stats speak for itself. I mean, you know, we're a four-back offense. Our quarterback's a back in our offense. And when all four backs average 4 yards a carry, and that's huge, no doubt about it.
Explain a little bit, because we try to talk about, Jimmy and I always, and Kate have talked about the responsibility for a quarterback, especially in Scott's offense or in y'all's offense. I know a lot of times he's got to understand which defensive tackle you're going to run at. After he decides that, he's got to make sure, that the alignment's correct. Then he's got to read it. Then he's got to pitch it all the whole time. It's just not – he's asked to do a lot more than a normal quarterback, the quarterbacks in high school.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, you look at – you know, everybody looks at spread offenses and they look at the quarterback in a spread offense. You know, how many reads he's got to make and this, that, and the other thing. Well, I can promise you in our offense, our quarterback has to make more reads than that. And it's exactly what you just said. It's not only what side to run the ball to, but where, what technique is this tackle in compared to this tackle? Where's the small technique? Where's the big technique? Where's the big technique in compared to the small technique in? And now, with our offense, with having Reggie for 3 years, not only could we package that, but we could package midline and Veer.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're looking at two plays to one side compared to two plays to the other side. Which one of the four are we going to run? That all relies on him based on where those techniques are playing. So, you know, it's huge when you have the experience that Reggie's had in 3 years, and it doesn't hurt when you have the athleticism that he has behind that experience to do what he did. And I think, you know, his playoff run was unbelievable.
Talk a little bit about your defense now, because they came up with some big turnovers against St. Thomas More, but more importantly, I thought they played very well in the semifinal game. But it seemed in the first half St. Thomas More was having their way. They were doing whatever they wanted to. There was a big turnover down at the one-yard line that was stripped by Trent Kavanaugh. But also in the second half, it seems like you may have closed the cushion a little bit, but it made it a little bit tougher for St. Thomas More to go down the field.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic because, you know, I've been thinking about that. You know, against U-High, we told the kids, you know, leave the locker room with no excuses, play the game with no fear, and come back in the locker room with no regrets.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of the outcome, you have to be willing to accept the fact that you could lose this game. And that sounds crazy, but if you play that way, you play with freedom. You're not worried about the outcome. And they played that way in the semifinal game. And the first half of the Superdome game, I don't think we did. And we told them that at halftime. I kind of told him a little bit more calm than Coach Worsham did.
I can only imagine.
There was, you know, I thank God that Dr. Don Mays, our superintendent, was in the locker room at that time because it was pretty fiery. And, you know, but we told the kids, you know, you're playing the game right now not to lose. And you didn't play that way last week. And if you play the way you did last week, you get aggressive and you're not worried about the outcome, you're going to be fine. And when you look defensively, the way we played the first half compared to the second half, you know, I mean, we had three picks in the second half just because our DBs quit playing not to lose the football game, and they were aggressive, and we created turnovers. So, you know, I mean, it was certainly a total game on both sides of the football.
Turnovers at key points, as we can go back to that U-High game you were eyeing at, and the one on the goal line, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, just real key points when a team has got that momentum, they're making the drive about to score late in the game when the momentum could shift either way. It changes the game a whole lot. It's not a score, but, boy, it takes a lot of wind out of yourselves if you're an offense.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, not only that game, but in the championship game. You know, right when they're about to go in and score, it was almost like a mirror image, same end zone, everything. You know, Kavanaugh strips Brosette last year when they're going into score, and then this year he strips the guy again this year. I mean, the guy has a knack for it. I mean, I can't tell you the number of times he did it this year and last year. You know, we have one more year with him, and I can promise you we're going to bottle it up. Before he leaves, he's going to give me the secret because we're going to teach it to everybody.
You know, before we let you go, because we want to talk to some of these guys here in just a second, but I just think it's such an important lesson that you teach. And God knows I've been trying to coach baseball, and that's a whole different animal. But, you know, the ones that struggle are the ones that are result-oriented. The ones that fear the strikeout when you get up there are the ones that fear that they're going to walk somebody. It's the same situation in this particular case. You got to play that play for what it's worth and not worry about what may happen down the line. That's a great message, so.
Yeah, we tell our kids all the time, you have to not only play it that way, but you have to be willing to accept the outcome. You have to be willing to accept the fact that you may lose this game. And when they play, it sounds crazy, but when they play that way, they play with total freedom.
Right.
They play with no fear whatsoever. The outcome doesn't matter, and that's what we preach to them all the time. And we can tell them as many times as we want, the outcome doesn't matter. But until they're willing to accept the fact that, hey, we can lose this game, but you know what? It doesn't matter. What matters is how I play each play. And I think these guys embraced that and accepted that, especially, you know, for the U-High game and for the greater portion of the state championship game. And I really feel like that's why we came out with a victory.
Well, Coach, congratulations again on the state championship. And thanks so much, as always, throughout the season, joining us here on this show, on the school board show. We always appreciate your time when you're available.
I appreciate you guys, man. Y'all do a great job.
How about another round of applause, everybody, for your head football coach, Jay Myers.
We got the cowbells in the house tonight, Coach.
Need more cowbell.
Always need more cowbell. We got a couple players lined up, some state championship Parkview Baptist Eagles. We'll talk to them when we return. Kate Wise and Todd Black here from Flip the Giggle. We're going to meet the Perkins Road Overpass. 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
This is Coach.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to Louisiana Prep Weekly here live from Schlitz and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Everybody, please help me give a nice round of applause to Parkview Baptist Eagle Division II state champions. We got Reggie Hayes. We got Trent Cavanaugh here at the desk, if I'm not mistaken, right?
You're right.
Nice round of applause for your Parkview Baptist Eagle state champion. Reggie, I'll start with you. I couldn't find it in the play-by-play notes, but there was a run. It might have been on the books for about 50 yards. It looked like you ran about 120, and you got into the end zone. And it just kind of really sums up what I've seen from you play-wise this year, always looking ahead, looking to make something happen, looking for your teammates. Can you tell me what this win means from a standpoint of the guys you've been with, the ups and the downs of making it to the Superdome and coming away this year with a state championship?
Well, to summarize it up, I would say that it was a good experience for us because majority of the seniors have been there for the past 4 years, and they all went through the same process as me. And we all had to deal with the previous seniors, and we had to deal with overcoming a lot of adversity that came towards us because, for some reason, adversity lives with Parkview. And just going through that with them, it was just a special time. And when we got to state, I mean, when we won, it was just a good feeling.
Did it mean a little different coming back, defeating U-High in the semifinals, and then getting back to the Superdome in that game and winning the state championship, having that somewhat of a, I don't know, a little bit of a revenge plus the idea of winning the state championship with both of those hurdles off your back?
Well, I wouldn't say it was revenge. Well, some people might look at it as that, but for us it wasn't. It was just a game that we needed to win, and that's the way we looked at it, and that's the way we took it. And we took the same process all the way throughout the playoffs and into state. So every game was important, not just the U-High win, but it was a big win for us in the program because we never beaten those guys.
You know, from a sideline view, the thing that I noticed that in this particular game, that not only were y'all playing with a little bit different intensity, your fans definitely had a different intensity than your counterparts in that semifinal game.
Yeah, our fans played a huge role that game. I mean, the previous game has been pretty good, but for some reason they just came out and they supported us like heck.
They get spoiled sometimes, let's be honest.
Yeah, they do.
Okay, and so, but and it, the same with LSU fans. I think they're spoiled too, but that's a different story. But I want you to go through a process, and I told Reggie before we got on the air to think about the St. Thomas More defense, but I want you to go through the process, and instead of going through your head, talk out loud to the process you go through when you're approaching the line of scrimmage and you have a midline call to the left.
Well, the first thing I look at is how the defenders line up, if his shoulders are already turned or if they just straight. And then whenever I take my steps and I see that guy take his first few steps, I can tell right then and there either I'm going to give it or pull the ball, depending on if his shoulders are coming towards the fullback or towards me.
So how was that for you to understand your first year opposed to your senior year? Well, night and day?
Yeah, my first year, I really didn't know anything. I couldn't even tell you the signals. But now my senior year, I probably could tell you everything about our whole offense.
And you could go coach it if you needed to.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your offensive line. How important are they to a guy, not only you, but all your running backs?
I mean, our offense played a huge role in almost every game, especially big games. And, I mean, they was just there for us throughout the whole season to support us. Even though, like, they might get hurt or something, they'll always play while they're hurt just so they won't let us down and that they'll be there with us. And, I mean, they just played a huge role because for the younger guys that had to step up this year, the younger guys had to play a huge role this year.
What does a guy like Trent mean to you from what he does defensively for you guys in the offense?
Oh, he's a difference maker. Kavanaugh, I would say he's our big playmaker on defense because 9 times out of 10, if he's on the field and we need the ball, he's going to get the ball for us. So I would say he like the ball hawk.
Trent, have you written like a book on the secrets of stripping the football, getting fumbles, and something you can package for coach long down the road they can use as a kind of a how to recover fumbles for dummies or something like that?
He's going to get to you, but before you get to that, I got to tell you, and I'll give you my headset here. Is that mic check? Nope. You go take his real quick, and we'll get back. Because I'm going to tell you, there's two guys that I know that take credit for teaching you how to do that. One's Coach Jeff Daniels. The other one's Coach Joey Nelson.
Right.
Tell the people who they are and get back to the original question.
Well, those were my Little League Prairieville Broncos coaches, and and they told me how to do it, and my stepdad, Randy Pierce. But I have the outlines for that book, but I have not I'm not going to publish them until I quit playing football because I don't want the running backs to know what I'm doing. So.
There you go. Hey, 14 tackles, man. You had 2 turnovers, one huge against in the state championship game. I got to say, I mean, I really have noticed you before, but not like I did the other day. You come up and you fill the alleys like I haven't seen in a long time. Tell me a little bit about what you see and what makes you so aggressive coming up to make those plays.
Well, I just see the ball carrier trying to get extra yards, and just like 14 tackles, that shouldn't go all to me because we have our linemen that are going into their places making the ball bounce. Then we have rovers like Peyton and Preston that are setting edges making the ball bounce, and so the tackles are gonna come to me just because that's where the running back's gonna go. But the credit also needs to go to them. And so I'm just filling the holes that are open.
That's a great answer because it's true. Right. Your whole defense, they all have fits. And if he does his job like everybody else is doing his job, good things happen. And that's exactly what was going on in the state championship.
Well, a domino effect of sorts. If the defense is playing sound, there's somewhere down the line you figure out, okay, Caleb Moe got an interception. How did that interception happen? Somewhere else there's pieces of the puzzle that had to fit and do what they needed to do. And we look at what you guys were able to do, some of the tackles solo or assist guys getting after the ball, kind of trickle down to other things that happened defensively.
So I know this may have happened in practice, right? Reggie breaks free. He's around the corner. It's you and Reggie, one-on-one. What happens?
Well, usually I get Look. Outrun.
He's like, why didn't you ask me that question? No, but that's a good answer because he would be a tough guy to tackle.
Right.
So you're just a junior. You get to come back one more year. But, you know, what does this championship mean to you as well as your teammates?
Well, it means a lot. It means a lot to have got it with these seniors because I love all of them. And I just hope that everyone coming back that we don't get complacent and say, oh, well, we won last year. We're supposed to win this year. That's not how it goes. We got to work. Everybody else thinks that they deserve that championship too. So we got to play like we don't deserve it, like we have to earn it.
I'm going to give Reggie this opportunity also, but we also know real quick that your success has to do with just more than you and your teammates. Talk about the people at home that support you and the guys that make sure you get your grades right, those people.
Oh, well, the support comes from everywhere. First, starting with my dad. He pushes me to get my grades right first. That's what matters, and that's what he's instilled in me, is that grades come first. And then well, my mom too, but I have a two step parents that push me too, and then just this whole team has come like a family. So we all just push each other to just do better in sports and in academics.
I'm going to let you hand the headset to Reggie, and we'll ask him the same question. You know, talk about your support system other than your coaches and your teammates.
Well, my parents play a huge role in that. Being my mom, she always is on me about my grades. You know, that's how moms are. And my dad, on the other hand, he's like the total opposite. He's completely sports. So I like play hand-in-hand with it. So my mom on me about my grades, and my dad is on me about football.
And I would think
pressure.
That's right. So while we have a chance, since Trent was just a junior, you're a senior. What are you gonna do? What's your next step, man?
I don't know yet.
You want to play in college, right?
Yeah, I do.
All right. So as college is talking to you, they want you to be quarterback, return guy, special teams. What do you want?
Well, most colleges so far want me to play the slot and do some returning. But the Army Academy, they wanted me to play quarterback. They're like the only school. So.
Well, I think whatever choice you make, you're going to be good at it. And we appreciate you spending some time with us tonight on Louisiana Prep Weekly. And also, best of luck to you from here on out. And we appreciate you and the rest of your Parkview family, as we're going to get a couple more of your teammates up here shortly.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's take a timeout. We'll be right back. We got a couple more players we want to get on mic tonight, and certainly thank for coming out here to Slits and Giggles. It is Louisiana Prep Weekly, 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
This is Louisiana Prep Weekly on 104.5, 104.9 ESPN Baton Rouge.
Louisiana Prep Weekly here at Slits and Giggles underneath the Perkins Road overpass. Thanks so much all year long. Speaking of our prep programs, you've tuned in on Friday nights in Louisiana Prep Preview at 6, Louisiana Prep Scoreboard all season long. Proud Parkview Baptist supporter has been a partner with us and our good friend Brian Moe over at State Farm. Got to be a good weekend. Got to see him Friday.
Yep.
Championship in the books now. We got a couple more.
Yes, we do.
Champions
we have
here with
the Nelson Smith and Trent Harrington.
How about a nice round of applause, everybody, for Nelson and Trent.
So, you and I were in the end zone, right? And,
yeah.
And this is them right there, as I showed you. That was there when they, I don't even know what part of the game.
I think it was second quarter.
Second quarter.
Yeah.
It has Trent and then Nelson doing a great job blocking Dylan Moses. So, coaches like us love y'all. I mean, y'all make it easy. What is it? Where's your mentality when, you know, you carry the ball, but to have a guy that carries the ball that but also likes to knock linebackers on their butts a pretty good thing. What gives you that mentality?
I just know that, like, if I don't do my job, then they're going to get tackled in the backfield or something like that.
And Coach Maia's going to be mad?
Oh, yeah, Coach Maia's definitely going to be mad. So I just try to do my best to let everybody else get an opportunity to score and help them score.
Trent, what does it mean to you to be able to have guys like here, like Nelson, who do the dirty work, kind of like yourself?
It's good to have somebody in the backfield that is pretty much another offensive lineman just coming, cracking linebackers. And I like whenever people have that physical mentality and just want to get after people.
So I got to ask you this. And the first time y'all came here, one of your coaches told me that you're the best offensive lineman that he's been around.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, it's a great compliment to get. Why would somebody say that about you? From the outside looking in, what would you think? What characteristics do you have that would make a coach say that? That's seen many, many offensive linemen say that about you.
I just think just going 100 every play and just playing with heart. It's all about the heart.
You know, I think we found out right off the bat when he said, oh, I don't know about that. You know, when – how tall are you?
5'6". 5'7", if you stretch me.
So, so there are a lot of kids out there that are 5'7", that may not think, you know, I can't play high school football. What would you tell them?
Well, that's a lie.
What does it take for them to take the commitment, work ethic?
Oh, yeah. You got to work harder than the people that do have the 6'5", the 6'4", we just have that natural talent. You got to work harder. So whenever you go up against them, you can have that faster edge and just get up on them.
Nelson, your thoughts?
I definitely agree with him. Working harder than the other person definitely helps, especially when they are born with better athletic ability or anything like that.
Does it help you guys, because at Parkview, the expectations that are there year in and year out, knowing that the players to the left and to the right of you guys, are they've got that same goal in mind. They've got that same drive and the same passion. You don't want to let the guys to the left or right down, so you're playing just as hard, if not harder.
Oh, yeah. I grew up just watching Parkview football since kindergarten. I just knew I wanted to be a part of it. Whenever I got into it, it really opened up my eyes and showed me what a brotherhood was. It just reason, just love the game.
Now, so what's the biggest thing you learned at Parkview?
The biggest thing I learned is to work hard and, like, go through every play and play as hard as I could, because, like, the first time I came to Parkview, I had trouble. I didn't run through the line. I didn't finish plays. Little things like that just held me back. I didn't learn a playbook at first, and all that held me back. I didn't play as much as I probably could have sophomore year or really even junior year because I didn't learn what to do, and I really got it in my head.
What did you learn about coaching? And what I mean by this is a lot of time when kids like you don't go through the motions, coaches see it, you're probably going to get yelled at a lot.
Oh, yeah,
do
definitely.
You take it personal, or do you understand, hey, they're here to make me better?
Oh, I definitely understand that they're trying to make me better as a person and as a football player.
Who do you want to thank for your years of high school football?
I like to thank all the coaches, especially Coach Maya. He really got on me because he saw my athletic ability, and he saw, like, that I was so nonchalant about it at first and really got on me.
I'd like to thank my parents and just pushing me and just being, like, a super fan. And just even if I had a bad game, just telling me how good I did. And I'd like to thank Matt Shelton just for teaching me pretty much everything I know about offensive line. So.
Well, guys, I know that it is sincere from us. Congratulations on this state championship, and thanks so much for joining us tonight. Enjoy it.
Thank you,
guys.
All right, that's going to wrap up tonight's show for Todd Black, Jimmy Roy, and Coach Jay Maia, as well as the Parkview Baptist Eagles here tonight, and the fan base.
Thank you.
We will see you next week.